All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome to Wheel Wednesday. We are happy to see you. We are back. And, I don't know. Thanks for joining us. What's going on with you?
Not much. How was your weekend going? What did you do this weekend?
It was good.
I saw you did some adjustments on the Z.
God.
Did some coilover
so,
adjustments.
Yeah,
what,
so if
what
you,
was that about?
If you happen to be on my Instagram, you probably saw me ranting on my story. But basically, so here's the thing. I admit that I'm getting older. And when I put my coilovers in, I don't know, whatever it was.
You're a fairly young guy.
No.
I just put
different coilovers into the car. I don't know, maybe the end of like kind of almost like a year ago.
Okay.
Right? And when I set the car up ride height wise, I convinced myself that I really was about that low life. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't drive the car that much, so screw it. Like, I'll just keep it low. So I adjusted the car down, and I mean, you know, look. It was low. But the problem is my car is inherently low. You know, I do have an Ings LX kit on it. So, anyhow, the 2 weekends ago, I was out driving it, and the straw that broke the camel's back because they were paving the road. And, you know, they leave that little one-inch gap.
Yeah.
Well, when they tear it up.
And
yeah.
So
I like almost like I came to like two
almost
of
ripped
them.
Your front lip off.
Well, yeah. I mean, scraped the bottom of it. And that's not a big deal because, you know, that's kind of the – Yeah, par for the course.
Yeah.
But it's starting to tear the mounting tabs on the side, like in the back part of the wheel well. And I'm just like, all right, this is stupid. Like I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I adjust the car. I adjust the ride height up a little bit.
How much higher did it go? Are you monster trucking now?
No, I don't know. It's not that high. The car can't go up that high. I mean, it only went up about maybe quarter of an inch on the coilover, so it's a, what do they say, like, you know, 75%. So it probably went up like maybe just under half an inch. You know what I mean?
All right, that's not bad.
No, that's not that bad. So anyhow, screw your low life. I don't want it. Take it back. Going back to dad bod height, you know what I mean? Right up there. That's, so aside from that.
Sucks, but.
Nothing else going on your way?
No, I had a lot of work this weekend. I had a whole bunch of wedding events and
right.
Sweet 16s and all that fun stuff. I haven't had a chance to work on the car. I just bought a new thermostat for it, and I haven't had the time to put it in. The car is just sitting in front of my house right now.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it in like at least a week.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. It's not that it takes long, but once you dive into it, you kind of got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just finding the time to actually do stuff to it. So.
Yeah. No, I get it. So let's get into... Let's get into this week's topic. Yeah.
What is?
In case you haven't figured it out, I'm Scott from Koenig. That's Nick.
We didn't do that yet. Okay. I'll put the little bars down here that say who we are.
Right. Thanks. You could do that. so today's topic is one that we get questions about all the time, and it's wheel spacers. I have been doing my best to avoid this topic like the plague. And
why?
Because I think that it's one of those topics that I don't think you're ever really going to please everybody on. I think that you have two sides of the coin. You have the people that understand, maybe three sides, right? There's no three sides of a coin, but maybe there's three point of views, right?
Maybe. There's that little tiny sliver on the coin that you can.
Maybe.
Not really, but anyways.
But I think the point is you're going to have three types of people. You'll have the people that use spacers the correct way and are very used to them and they have great success with them.
Right.
You have people that will not use them correctly and have a really bad experience with them.
And constantly bash them.
And let's group some other people in that same category, which is people that really don't have a lot of experience with them but have read a lot that say that they're bad, so they don't use them.
Right.
And then you'll have the other people which kind of
have
– I don't even know if – maybe I was right with just saying there was two sides. But you're always going to have these people that are going to say – people that are for and people that are against it.
Right.
And to get the people to cross over or understand each other's side
– is just a battle that's
– it's not going to work.
Ever.
So,
always ongoing.
I want to start out with a disclaimer, and I don't usually do these. I don't usually get into these because a lot of this is, you know, Nick and I talking. Yes, Koenig puts it out, but I want to be very clear. Koenig does not endorse the use of spacers at all. We don't support it. We say, you know, Koenig's official standpoint is choose the wheel that fits correctly for your vehicle. Now, let's go off the disclaimer. Unofficially, we recognize that you know, we're in an aftermarket industry where you're going to do a lot of different things to your vehicle, and people are going to do a lot of different things to their vehicle to customize, perfect the stance, change the way the car handles, racing, not racing, race teams, not race teams, etc. So with that, we're going to touch on a subject that I don't like doing because we don't make wheel spacers. We don't endorse wheel spacers.
Why is that? Why doesn't Koenig endorse the use of wheel spacers?
Well, because I think that first off, that's like saying, do we endorse another product?
Okay.
Right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, ask us, and for the people that have asked us a lot of questions about different things, like, you know, what size tire do you use? You'll know that while we may be helpful to you to guide you on the path, what we don't do is we don't give you the tire size. We don't give tire advice. And it's not because we can't look it up just like you can look it up. It's because we are a wheel company.
You don't manufacture it, so you can't really. Okay, yeah. I got you.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that, you know, whenever you have something like a spacer or a part that has to go on and it has its own set of installation requirements.
Right.
That if you don't follow them, you can have a terrible time.
Right.
Right? So we give you all the instruction and we give you all the help and technical support and, you know, the correct information on wheels.
Right.
And wheel fitment. But when it comes down to wheel spacers, it's not where we want to spend our time advising. So we advised not to. Okay? So I've put the disclaimer out there and we can move on.
Okay.
But we still get a ton of questions about them. What is a wheel spacer? Well, you know, like, well, maybe not that much. But we get questions about wheel spacers, how to use them, what's the right thing, how much can I do on my car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to try to do our best to knock through some of these things. And Nick and I were talking probably a week ago or so, and we will probably do a better informational video on a lot of these topics at a later date.
Right.
But right now, here's what we got. So let's start with a wheel spacer, right? What is a wheel spacer and how is it used? A wheel spacer is essentially, a metal
ring.
Yeah.
Not exactly a ring.
Basically, it's going to allow you to push or perfect the stance of your vehicle. And how it does it is it actually spaces the wheel out, right? Like, a wheel spacer can't help you change the offset to a higher offset. Can't move the wheel in because it's a piece of metal that pushes the wheel out.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's a piece of metal that pushes the wheel out. So that way it pokes out more of the wheel well.
Yeah. So it allows you to perfect the stance. In a lot of different ways, it will allow you to, you know, for people that maybe need a few millimeters extra protrusion, like a clearance on the protrusion of a brake, maybe they take you a brake kit,
right,
and it just is, they may use a spacer there to push the wheel out. That doesn't work if the height of your brake is hitting. It only works if the protrusion of the brake is hitting. But if that's your issue, you know, sometimes people use spacers there. And then there's another type of spacer which is really called an adapter, and that will allow you to change the bolt pattern. Okay. And why do people get into that? Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you may have somebody that has, you know, a set of wheels in 5.4.5 or 5.1.4.3, and their car is, let's say, 5.100. So they buy a 5.100 that bolts onto the car, and then the studs that will actually be in the adapter will come out at a 5.4.5 or a 5.1.4.3 pattern. So that's an adapter. They also have spacers that have studs in them. And usually when you see those spacers, it's because the spacer is so thick. When you start to get past, let's say, a few millimeters, you start to run out of, you start to go past that thread engagement point where the lug nut doesn't have enough room to tighten down onto the stud.
Right.
And when that happens, it's a dangerous situation. So a lot of times when you get to or you get into the spacers that have significant thickness,
you would need extended lugs to get the proper amount of rotations on
the lug. There's two ways of doing this, right? The one which you just mentioned.
Extended lugs.
Exactly right. Where you change out your lug, you go to a longer lug, and then when you put that on, hopefully you've bought a hub-centric spacer, and we'll get into that in a second. But it allows you to have enough thread engagement that when you put the spacer on and then you put your wheel on, that you can get a lug nut to thread properly, securely, and have enough thread engagement to keep the wheel on the car.
And that's also why certain spacers will have the studs in them, right? So
That's the other side of it. That's exactly right. So that's the second point of it. The second point is that you would use a spacer, and that's why they have the studs in them. It's because you bolt it onto your car. You bolt the spacer onto your car with the correct hardware.
Right.
It tightens down correctly. And then it also has the studs for that pattern offset so that you can put the wheel on and tighten them down.
Right. Now, but before we go on to that can actually be a little problematic also. Because let's say the stud is too long.
Yes.
And you put the new spacer on it. And after you tighten it down, you could have it sticking out a little bit.
Which right.
could, in turn, push your wheel out a little more, and then it won't actually sit flush.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the best way to go about that? Like, do you cut them? Do you put in shorter ones? Do you...
I mean, the truth is, and this is why, we're starting to dive into why we don't recommend spacers, right? We're right at that point where you're about to hit a whole bunch of things, and we're not going to be able to answer them all over the internet.
Right.
Right? But so I want to dive into that, and I also have, you might see my eyes veering over, and if you're on iTunes...
you might hear his eyes veering over.
Right. But we have a board that we kind of jot some thoughts on, and this one was just – there was just too much information. I didn't want to leave a lot of stuff out, so I do have some thoughts, you know, kind of outlined off to my my side here. So that's where you'll see my eyes kind of wander to. But I want to – that is one of the points I want to touch on at some point. But having a cavity-backed wheel is a lot of the questions we get. People say, is your wheel cavity back? Because I want to run spacers. And I understand what they're referring to. They're referring to they have this stud that protrudes out of this the spacer. That, you know, what happens is, if you can imagine this, the wheel spacer goes over your stock studs, and they give you new hardware to tighten the wheel spacer down to your hub width.
Right.
Well, past that lug nut now. Sometimes it's even the lug nut itself, maybe a closed end lug nut.
Right.
You have a little piece of stud or the remainder of the lug nut. If, let's say, you're using a 10 millimeter spacer.
Right.
You're not going to, like with a truck spacer, sometimes they use a couple inch spacers. You always end up, the lug nut ends up getting buried in the spacer, and so you have nothing protruding past the spacer. But with the car spacer, when it's, you know, 10 millimeters or 15 millimeters or 25 millimeters, whatever it is, usually you'll have some portion of that sticking out. So when you ask us the question, is the wheel cavity backed? My question to you might be, well, how much of the lug nut is sticking out, or how much of the stud is sticking out past the spacer, you know, past the mounting surface, and where? Because it could be different in height. How tall is, how thick, you know, how wide is that lug nut? Where does it hit on? There's a whole bunch of things that
There's
we can't.
A bunch of factors that
we
go
just
into
can't
it.
Answer it.
So if it's a closed-ended
lug nut
that comes in your kit, and it's like just barely making it, and it seems like tight enough, is it possible now that spacer, if you don't notice, is like kind of off even by like the slightest little millimeter, like it's not fully tightened?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, but one of the things is when you have that stud or anything sticking past, and, you know, a lot of our wheels are cavity backed, and cavity backed really means, and we really should have just taken a wheel down. I may have you, can you, can you pull a wheel down? I don't know if we can do that. I'll move. So basically what happens is cavity back means that the wheel actually has notches cut out of the back of the wheel in between the lug areas into areas where it wouldn't be a strength issue. Here's a good example. We should be able to see this, right? So for people on iTunes, what I'm doing here is I'm actually showing a wheel. So go to your YouTube channel and take a look. So this would be a cavity back center. And basically what we're referring to in this section is that if you look in between the lug areas, there's actually a cutout here. And so the question we get a lot is, well, you know, is it one of those things that, you know, is your wheel cavity back because I want to run these spacers? And so here's the issue. Let's pretend that my finger here is the portion that, of the stud or the lug nut that's protruding past the spacer mounting surface. And you want it to get it to fall into here. And if it comes in here and it doesn't make contact with the wheel, boom, you're like, you know, that part worked. But if it's, you know, if it's a five, let's say it's a small bolt pattern, you know, we bore this wheel out to use a hub-centric ring, and let's say it just crashes or it just starts to make contact here, there are two things that will happen. You can put that back. Thanks. There are two things that will happen. The first thing that will happen is, let's say you just genuinely hit it. Well, then your spacer ordeal is not going to work. There's no way now for you to tighten that wheel down. You're going to have interference. It won't work. That's not the part that bothers me as much as the next part. And that's the part where
you're cutting stuff.
No, that's the part where you actually look and you say, I think it makes it. And you tighten the wheel down on the car. What you don't realize is right, that it's actually pushing. And when it meets that interference just enough, you tighten it down. But what you're not really paying attention to, that this is, and this happens more than, you know, when we see this with people using spacers, this is one of the failure points. The wheel doesn't really get tight and flat to the hub of the car. And that's because that lug nut is just making enough contact to make sure that when you tighten it down, you think that you got it tight, but it's not perfectly flat to the hub.
Right.
That's the case where a wheel will eventually vibrate off the car. And so understand when a company like us gives you a disclaimer of like, we can't really endorse spacers, it's because, you know, it's not the spacer itself necessarily. There's a bunch of other things with it.
Right.
We'll touch back on this in a second. I'm trying to do this in an organized way so that we answer as many of these questions that we get as possible, that we don't take a side, right? Like, I'm trying not to take a side in that sense. Yeah. I don't want to discourage people or knock people. You know that this is
trying to inform people on, you know, what could possibly happen, the good sides and the bad sides.
And the one thing that we're trying not to do in this is a safe zone, right? You can tell us your opinions on anything, and we're not going to criticize you for it. We're just trying to give you information. And we've already given the disclaimer that we don't endorse the use of spacers. So that's already out there. But let's talk about – we already talked about like kind of what a spacer is. Again, to recap, it can, you know, the idea is to adjust the stance of a car, usually to – push, you know, go to a lower, try to make what you already have into a lower offset, essentially.
Right.
It could be used to clearance certain brakes if you needed the extra room.
Maybe even suspension parts if you get a wheel.
Yeah, right. Like drift guys, a lot of times they'll have a rubbing issue.
Right.
Especially on the front end with angle kits where, you know, they'll hit inboard or whatever it may be. And they use the spacer to kind of gain some clearance there. So, yeah, that's obviously one of those things. Yeah. And the last thing would be using an adapter, which does space it out, which would change the bolt pattern if that was something you were trying to do. So those are the uses of what a spacer would do,
right?
Be, et cetera. Let's talk about the types. We kind of briefly mentioned them. There are just, you know, small spacers, couple mil spacer, 3 millimeter spacers, 5 millimeter spacers, some with the hub, some with the studs, and some without.
Some hub-centric, non-hub-centric.
Exactly right. So let's talk about them real quick. If you're doing a couple millimeter spacer, what you want to do with any spacer, especially if you're not adding any lug nut hardware or anything like that, is you want to make sure you have proper thread engagement. I cannot stress how important this is. This is another one of those failures that if you do not have this, you could potentially have a catastrophic problem.
Just so you know, they have a little bit of a better understanding.
Yes.
Just define.
I'm
what
going
you mean
to.
By
I promise you.
Engagement.
This stuff. Listen, this stuff scares me for you. I'm not even like I don't have any joke in my mind. I've been doing this for 14. I've been here for almost 14 years. And I have heard stories and seen people do things that, you know, I mean, listen, this is your life. Like, you talk about this stuff and we joke around about certain things. This is your life. You mess up here and you can have a really bad day, if not way worse. Thread engagement. Thread engagement is how many turns a lug nut gets onto your stud. Or how many turns a lug bolt will go into the hub area.
Right.
So if you're a European guy, use a lug bolt.
Female stud. Yeah.
Well, right. Right. But if you're using a lug bolt, then you need to make sure you have proper thread engagement. But the point I'm trying to make is that you have to have enough turns onto a lug nut to be able to have proper thread engagement where that lug
is secure.
Nut. Or lug bolt is properly has enough thread engagement turns to properly fasten that wheel onto the car. When you put a spacer onto a car, onto a wheel, you know, into the back of the wheel,
right,
and put it onto the car, if you're using the stock studs or lug bolts, you immediately have less thread engagement than you had before because you're spacing it
right
away, right? Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple mil, depending on which car you have, like Nissans and Hondas, they're known for having shorter studs. So right there, using any spacer may be a total problem. So don't do it like that. That's when you'll see people go to longer extended lug studs. Or with the European guys, they'll buy longer bolts. So,
or actually, and not to go off topic,
sure,
sometimes they'll do the conversion for the...
to the stud conversion.
The stud conversion, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then go extended that way.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, as long as you... The idea here is no matter how we're doing this with proper...
Right.
And if you're going to be using a spacer that does not have another set of studs or whatever it may be, that's when you want to make sure it's hub-centric. Meaning that there is a way to... Because, all right, for example... When you use a hub-centric ring usually goes into the back of your wheel, and it's the difference between the center bore of the wheel to the hub size of your car.
Right.
Okay? That's what that ring does. It acts as a, we've said this before on different in different podcasts. It's not a safety piece. It's a dowel pin to essentially help you line the vehicle up to make sure it's perfectly hub-centric. So when you tighten it down, we know we're perfectly centered. And we're flat against the hub, right?
Right.
So what happens here is that when you take a spacer and you put it on there, a lot of times what happens is, you know, the hub of your car may only be, let's say, you know, 10 millimeters, whatever. So if you put like a 10 millimeter spacer in your car, I mean, obviously you would need to have extended lugs. But now you don't have any place to center the hub ring on anymore. That's why if you get that kind of a width spacer, you'd want to have a hub centric spacer because it will kind of have the hub shaped back for you.
So if you buy spacers and you wind up getting them, you know, that aren't hub centric, you didn't do your research or whatever,
uh-huh,
do they make hub rings specifically that will go?
Yeah, you know, some of the spacer companies do, but I don't know if the aftermarkets really do. But essentially, like, I've seen them before with different spacer kits. They'll actually have, like, an aluminum or whatever it may be ring, you know, maybe a different hub-centric ring that actually goes onto the stock that goes through the center of the spacer but onto the stock hub.
And goes through the spacer.
But it's long, so it actually goes through the center of the spacer and then does the taper to go into the back of the wheel, right?
Interesting.
But anyhow, so make sure – so we have two different types of spacer. Obviously, ones that have studs, ones that don't. We already just talked about the ones that don't. But the ones that do have studs, what they're essentially trying to do is they're either changing the lug pattern or they know that just the spacer is already so thick that you're not going to naturally have thread. You're going to lose all your thread engagement.
Right.
So what they actually do is they actually give you another set of an additional set of hardware,
right.
And they also give you another set of studs that will allow you to have kind of a fresh starting point to put your wheel onto and properly gain stud engagement.
Right.
Right. And that's the point of any of those spacers that have the studs in them. And again, both of them should be hub-centric or not hub-centric. Always try to go for a hub-centric spacer. It just makes life a lot easier, and it kind of makes sure that you're going to have a reduction in vibration as long as you properly install and fasten a spacer to the car.
So then you would need to know what size your hub is then when buying a hub-centric spacer. You can't just go online and buy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times those spacer kits, they'll actually do, like, they'll sell them by car.
Right.
Because I think that's the easiest way, you know? But yeah, so I mean, if not, you'd need to know either what size hub you have,
right.
Or what size wheel, what size centerboard wheel you're going to put on your car,
right?
Right, you kind of got to know one of those things. So that's that. Look, I want to let's address two things because they come up all the time in the debates of people. People say things like you should never use a spacer. So let's talk to the people that say that you should never use a spacer. I'm not going to endorse that one way or another because we already said we don't endorse the use of spacers.
Right.
But there's a lot of race teams that use them over and over and over again. There are a lot of people that have used them successfully. A lot of trucks use them successfully. There are a lot of situations where a spacer has been used extremely successfully. So we're going to leave that there. I'm also going to go on the flip side and say there's a lot of people that have had catastrophic, yes, and had catastrophic
right.
failures, damage, and I'm sure somewhere there's going to be documented of substantial injury, if not worse.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the issues with spacers, because that's what the comments could potentially be filled with.
Probably.
Let's talk about quality. This is one of those areas where, like, this is what holds, like, when you use a spacer, this is what holds, like, your wheels onto the car. This is not one of those places that you really should be, I'm not going to say where to buy them, right? But this is not one of those places where you want to do your homework here. You want to make sure that you have a quality, quality metal. You want to have quality hardware. You want to make sure that you have a really good quality piece. I know I've said quality 150 times, but I swear to you, I mean it.
What do you mean by quality metal?
Well, look, there's a lot of stuff that people may sheen things. There may be some spacers that are forged. There may be some spacers that are steel. Some spacers are aluminum. There may be some spacers that are especially like when you start to look at the machining of a spacer. I've seen a lot of different spacers, some that actually have a lot of material removed from the portion that actually contacts the hub of the car. And so people say, it doesn't matter as long as it's flat, and that's incorrect, and here's why. Because you need to know what the torque specs are to attach that spacer onto the hub.
Right.
Right? And depending on if you over-torque them, depending on how a spacer's shape sometimes, especially in the back, you could potentially mushroom that spacer, tighten it down and mushroom the actual pad of that, and now your wheel's never going to be hub-centric. It's just going to wobble, right? And then with vibration, that's where you start to experience those catastrophic failures.
Right.
Right? So quality, make sure you do your homework there. It's a good place to do your homework. Make sure you're buying, I know I've said it just over and over again. I just can't stress it enough. A quality piece that you know is machined correctly, that is of quality parts. I mean, studs. Right? Like, this is not the time you want a cheap stud, so you might, eventually with fatigue of taking them on and off, it's just going to, crack.
Snowball.
Yeah, I mean, look, and studs themselves, even on OE cars, they experience fatigue, and at some point, there's a yield portion.
Break. Yeah, that's happened to me a couple times.
Even if
it will just snap on me just from tightening it.
Yeah. I mean, and even if they don't break, there becomes that portion where, you know, you eventually, over time, you know, especially from people using impact guns over and over again, not usually
we'll just
should be using a torque wrench, but yeah, you know, stretch the, you know, yield on the studs. So make sure you're getting a stud that has, you know, a spacer that has a stud that's a quality stud, you know, a real, whether forged steel, whatever it's going to be, make sure it's the right, that it's really a good quality piece. So quality, right? Hardware, we've touched on it briefly. Make sure you're using proper lug nuts. Make sure you're using getting proper hardware kits that come with a spacer. And if you have to buy your own, make sure you invest in research and make sure you get the proper stuff to hold it onto the car. Like we've said, you know, hardware can be the difference between clearing the back of your wheel or not. And again, you know, when something doesn't fit at all and you know, I mean, that stinks. When something fits, when something tightens down and doesn't really fit, that's the scary part because you don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not checking to make sure you're perfectly flat on the hub, that's when that thing goes really south, starts to vibrate the car. So, right? So hardware, that's another thing. Issues, hub-centric. You know, you got to make sure, I would say always try to make sure you get a spacer that's hub-centric or that you have a way to make the wheel hub-centric again.
If
right?
If you buy spacers that don't come with the hub-centric ring on it.
Yeah, if it's not a hub-centric spacer, but maybe it's a really small spacer and you have enough thread engagement and you are still able to get a hub ring on it and still able to get the wheel centered up.
Right.
Hey, no problem.
Good to go.
Yeah, good to go. Let's see what else we got going on here. Look, I would say that majority of the issues that occur are when you're pushing the limits of what a spacer really should be used to do. And this is a hard thing to sum up in a sentence because, like I said before, there's plenty of trucks that run, you know, 1.5, 2-inch, 3-inch spacers,
right.
And it works just fine for them. But cars are a different animal, and every situation is going to be a little bit different. And so, but generally, when you start to run bigger and bigger and bigger spacers, is when you start to experience more and more of the issues. Not always that they happen like that. Like they have
Well, what types of issues come from using a bigger spacer?
Well, it's just
like if you're passing all the other tests, like it's not rubbing against the back of the wheel. It is.
That means you're doing it right. But I'm just saying, whenever you start to get to a point, I mean, look, you use too big of a spacer, and what happens? Like, you know, a lot of times people like they want to put spacers on. Next thing you know, the tires are rubbing, or they don't realize that when you put spacers on the front of a car, you increase the scrub radius. And scrub radius basically meaning that when you turn the wheel to the left, now, you know, how much your vehicle is able to turn changes. And when you push a wheel out and then make a turn, a lot of times what you don't realize is you just made it to the point where now your front wheels are going to, when you turn them, are either going to rub the front bumper or they're going to rub the rocker.
Right.
Right? So that happens with increase of scrub radius. So I'm just saying that the bigger you go, like the more margin you have to experience error.
Right.
And proper install is one of those things. And I'm not going to get really into proper install, but I'll tell you some keys. You need to make sure that baby is, besides getting a quality spacer and all the stuff we just talked about, you need to make sure that thing is flat against the hub, 100% flat against the hub. You need to make sure that you have the correct hardware properly secured and fastened to the correct torque specifications, and that you also want to make sure that you have no interference at all where the spacer, its hardware, any piece of it is not causing the wheel now to sit flat against the spacer.
Right.
So we need the spacer to sit flat against the hub, and we need the wheel to sit flat against the spacer. You have to have those things to be, and then be properly fastened and secured.
Right.
Has to happen. Thread engagement, we've spoken about multiple times before in this podcast, and you need to do your homework and make sure you have plenty of turns on the lug nut to be able to properly fasten it, not according to what you think is safe, but according to
what is actually safe.
Exactly right. Let's see what else we have here. Cavity back wheels. We spoke about that. Again, making sure they sit flat to the hub there. Listen, I'm going to go through one thing I hear people fight about all the time. Wheel bearing issues. People say oh, it puts, you know, using
it,
spacers,
it puts stress on the wheel
prematurely
bearing.
Causes failure of a wheel bearing.
Yeah, I've actually seen a few videos where they talk about that.
Okay.
I mean, what's your take on that?
I would say in theory, and for the most part, at some point that is correct, right? So I'm, you know, it's not a guess. I mean, it is. I mean, anytime you,
I mean, just changing the wheel in general,
well,
adds more stress.
There could be a there could be a lot of facets here that could impact that, and whether it will cause a wheel bearing to fail, I think it's hard to make a general statement. Every car has a different type of wheel bearing, or sits differently, secures differently. Some, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of different types of bearings, whatever it may be.
Right.
I think it's tough to say in general, but at some point, yeah, the physics of that are true, but you know, will you experience it? You know. You know,
yeah, no, maybe.
Right. The bigger you go, the more you probably could experience it. But this is the point I wanted to get to, not so much that point of, you know, does it cause it or not. I have people that will say, or I've read people say things like, oh, don't put the wheel spacer on the car. Just get a wheel that's the same offset equivalent, right? So, for example, if you're going to run, let's say, a 20 by 9, and you want to run a 20 by 9 at a zero. So you take a 20, so you have, but you have a 20 by 9 at a 20 wheel, and you run a 20 millimeter spacer.
Right.
People say, no, don't run the 20 millimeter spacer. Just go ahead and look for a 20 by, buy a wheel that's 20 by 9 at a zero.
Right.
It's essentially the same thing. And I know people will argue with me here about, well, you're putting the extra weight on the hub. Yeah. That's that part's true. Like, I get to you.
But what if you're...
But it's the same wheel leverage. like if a 20 by 9 works out to be a zero, whether it be the mounting pad is thicker on the back of the wheel, or it ends up being one of those things where you use a spacer, or if it ends up being that, because the mounting pad is just in that same location, 20 by 9 and a zero is a 20 by 9 and a zero. The wheel use, the tire use, the stress that's in the leverage that's being experienced through the use of that wheel in that location is the same. Yeah, there's going to be some effects of, you know, you have extra material or extra weight on whatever, but not the location. Not the location. So there's that. And again, these are my own opinions, not necessarily something that's Koenig. Again, Koenig's official standpoint here is they do not endorse the use of spacers. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, this information we're putting out there is kind of a safety, but we're not, you know, we certainly don't think you need to use spacers. Get the right size wheels for your car. Right fitment.
Now, what if... Well, no, because changing the offset would change the depth in the mounting pad. So I was going to say, I was going to bring up brake clearance as a reason to use spacers. So, like,
well, we already talked about that. Yeah, that'll work.
But yeah, if you are changing the offset from a 20 to a zero, then the mounting pad would be thicker. So then you would get that.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Oh,
I mean,
no, it would be
the mounting pad location. The mounting pad location would be in a different location.
Right.
Sometimes you'll see on some wheels, like, and we've said this before. Let's say one of our wheels. Sometimes you'll have a difference of 5 millimeters, and we may have a 5 millimeter thicker pad on one of those wheels. Sometimes it happens. I mean, we then recess the drill holes, so you still have the same, you know, lug engagement, thread engagement, but. But yeah, for the most part, I'm just talking about those guys that are really critical on how it affects wheel bearings.
Right.
And so just keep that in mind. I mean, I agree with you to some extent. It does put more stress on a wheel bearing. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to make the argument that a 20 by 9 at a 20 and a 20 by 9 at a 0, I'm sorry. If you're going to make the argument that a 20 by 9 at a 20 with a 20 millimeter spacer is worse than a 20 by 9 at a zero offset in terms of its stress on the wheel bearing, they're, you know, marginal. So I mean, you'll have people that are going to argue with me on this.
But, oh, absolutely.
But this
has been an argument that's been going on for a very long time.
Right. I'm not saying that there's no stress there, but I'm saying that they roughly are going to experience the same amount of, you know, leverage as far as its use. So I would say that pretty much is the same. So again, I'm not saying that it does not, by using a low offset wheel, or by using a much heavier wheel, or by using a big spacer, that you're not going to experience premature wheel bearing failure. I'm not saying that it doesn't cause extra strain on the wheel bearings. I'm just saying that when you try to compare them, you know, the offset location is going to be roughly the same amount of leverage experience. So just keep that in mind. I mean, you know, you go big wheels, you go really low offset that's not intended for your car, whether you do it through a spacer or through the actual getting the right wheel fitment.
You start to deal with
some level. I'm not saying you will. So let's see. There's that. So I don't know. I mean, I think what I would say is quality is certainly key. I mean, 100%. Make sure you do research. Make sure you know how to use a spacer. Make sure you properly know how to torque them, install them. You have worked out all the issues. You make sure they're perfectly flat to each other in the hub, and the wheels are flat to the spacer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure you have plenty of thread engagement. You're not bottoming out anywhere, that everything looks good. And, you know, make sure that you've kind of done your homework as far as the fitment of your vehicle. Like, don't overdo it, and then you're rubbing all over the place.
Don't buy spacers that are too big for your car.
Right.
And now you're dealing with fitment issues.
Yeah, so, like, officially, don't use spacers. See? But with all that said, I mean, again, I've said it multiple times. We don't endorse the use of spacers, and I'm trying to give as much general information on this subject because we get questions all the time. And I don't know. I hope to some degree it helps. Again, like I said, this is not to start an argument. I don't think we took a side one way or another, even though we keep saying don't use spacers. I don't think we have taken a side one way or another with that. I think we're just trying to throw information out and precautions of things you should look at if you were to, on your own merit, want to run a spacer. These are the things you should certainly, you know, be cautious of and make sure that you're doing correctly. And I would say whenever you have any doubts or anything like that, consult a local wheel and tire professional that can help you get these things installed correctly, or tell you that this shouldn't be used and advise you in proper fitment. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think so.
You got anything else to add to this?
No. I've been dodging doing this one for a while, just because I think that it's such a difficult subject to, you know, again, Koenig's official standpoint, we don't endorse the use of spacers. Right. And I didn't want to get into that, but we get a lot of questions about it. And I think if there's any information, if you're going to do it anyway, I think if there's any information that we can put out there that at least offers some precautions and things you need to be cautious of, that's the main point. Right?
Right.
And I hope that we did that here today, and maybe we'll make another, you know, video that's a little bit more light and fluffy about the same subject later. But I don't know. I mean, we're all car people here, so we certainly understand that people are going to do things that, you know, they're not technically textbook. We just want you to be super safe when you do it.
Right.
And we hope that this information allows you to do that. And I don't know. I think that's it.
Are you running spacers on your car?
Not now.
But you were.
I have extended lugs all the way around. I use open lugs, open-ended lug nuts. And I think there was a point where it was in the front, and I ditched them.
Yeah. I had spacers at one point. It wasn't much. I wound up selling them because I actually didn't have the extended lugs, and I didn't really feel safe with them. And plus, the look I was going for, like I wound up switching it up. So I just right. I wound up getting rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of a functionalist and a minimalist when it comes to this stuff, and I kind of believe that you pick the right wheel for your car, get the right specs for your car,
right?
And you get your car bolted up. I mean, it's the same reason I raised the height back of my car. I mean, I thought it was all cool, but
yeah. But then there's also those times where you could really fall in love with a wheel, and they might not make the offset that you want.
Oh yeah,
and that I feel like that happens a lot. There's been a lot of wheels I've looked at, and I'm just like, wow, this is great, and I'm just like, they don't have the offset. It'll stop me from actually purchasing that wheel.
Yeah, or you put that big brake kit on your car, and you already have wheels, and you realize you just need 5, 6, whatever it may be, millimeters to clear. And so what do you do, right? So I'm not saying that there's a time. And plenty of, like I said, we talked about the drift teams and some of these other guys using them to actually clearance. So yeah, I'm not saying that they're used, right? A lot of pro race teams use them. So I think that there's definitely a time and a place for them. But I think it's really, really important that you understand that if you're going to go that route,
there are steps you need to take.
You're
safe and you're doing it the proper way.
100%. Right? And look, we're just trying to make sure you're safe. That's all. Really what it is. So, again, we don't endorse the use of spacers. and we really hope that if for some reason you have chosen that that's what you're going to do on your own merit without any influence from us, because we've already said we don't endorse the use, that you will do all the homework, and hopefully some of the information that we've given you here today at least offers you a thought process, right? It offers you a thought process into the things and awareness into the things that you're going to have to do and you really should do before you purchase spacers, before you run spacers, before you install spacers, while you install spacers, after you install spacers. I mean, look, just...
there's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, even though Koenig doesn't endorse them,
right?
If any of these lovely people watching or listening have any questions, they can leave it in the comments below on our YouTube channel.
Right, and we'll tell you that we don't endorse the use of spacers, and we'll try to answer
it. Yeah. Try and answer those questions.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what we have here. Do we have any – we had some questions
at one point. So I do have some questions written down here that I did manage to snag from our social media. But
it's like a 45-minute
podcast. I did kind of ask them throughout the topics we were going through.
Okay.
So we banged them out before we even got to it.
All right. So that's it. Thanks for joining us this Wednesday. We'll hopefully be back with you again next Wednesday. And I don't know. Thanks. We appreciate it. If you have some time, give us a like, thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff. And maybe the links will be below.
We'll put links in the description below to everything. Newsletter, podcast, all of it.
All of it. So thanks. Thanks for stopping by. And we'll catch you back here next Wednesday. For more info on the podcast, head over to KoenigWheels.com/podcast.
Which will be in the description.
See, that will be there too. And and we'll see you back here next Wednesday. Thanks. Take care. Peace.